What's up, everybody? It's Rob. It's been a couple of months. So long that I had a little bit of difficulty setting up the recording setup of the podcast. But I want to thank you guys for listening. Just going to jump into it. It's been kind of busy with like work and everything. We had the holidays and New Year's. Last episode I did was around Thanksgiving time frame, which is the end of November for, you know, any non-Americans listening. A lot's happened. A lot's been going on. Before we jump into the football/soccer, I actually had one of the better New Year's experiences that I've ever had. I'm living in Germany. I'm living in Bavaria, so Switzerland's not too far away. So for New Year's, me and my family, we stayed in an igloo, which sounds kind of crazy. We were down in Davos in Switzerland, and we stayed in basically a igloo hotel. So basically the entire hotel was made out of ice and snow, primarily snow. They use these like air bladder things that they fill up and basically create the rooms for the hotel. We're up on top of a mountain. It was pretty interesting. It was kind of weird. Obviously you're thinking that it's going to be kind of cold the entire time. But because you're on top of the mountain, you basically take a ski lift up and then you kind of have to walk to the igloo site. And it was kind of windy. There's like a storm coming in when we got there. But once you got into the igloo, obviously there's no wind in there. And even though the temperature was, you know, somewhere between, if you're doing Fahrenheit, it was like, you know, between 30 and 32. Or if you're doing Celsius, it's like kind of -1 to 0. Inside, it actually didn't feel bad. Like if you're walking around, you just keep your coat on, hat on, or whatever. And it was pretty nice. They have, you know, hot tub jacuzzi setup going on. So, we kind of did that. That's outside though. So, you know, snowing the entire time. Like I said, there was a storm. And we, you know, basically just sat in there for a couple of hours, kind of conversing, I guess, with some of the people that were there. Everybody basically spoke English. It was a good time. And it was New Year's Eve at midnight. You know, they shot off some fireworks or whatever. We had some fondue and some soup and stuff like that. It wasn't anything extravagant, but it was an experience, basically. Something that I'm glad that, you know, we took our kids to. Whether or not we'll do it again, I don't know. I think if we would do something like that in the future, we'd just do it by ourselves. It was pretty nice. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about living, outside of my own country. I mean, I'm sure they have something similar in Canada or even, you know, one of those northern states like Minnesota or Michigan or whatever in the U.S. But it was something pretty legit that I never thought that I would see myself doing, but it was pretty nice. And if you're wondering, the sleeping part was pretty nice. That, you know, you don't have to bring your sleeping bag. They give you a sleeping bag. And, you know, I was pretty warm the entire night, even though, you know, the entire room that we were sleeping in was completely made of snow. I was pretty warm. So shout out to the people at the Igludorf in Davos, Switzerland. It was pretty legit. Check it out if you get the chance to. I think that now probably the season might be coming to an end. I think they start kind of around the end of November and probably run until, I don't know, maybe March. It was pretty legit. So I probably would have had a better time if we would have been going to Switzerland to go check out a game. It was kind of weird too because obviously it's up in the mountains. So driving there, weather was decent. You know, it was above, like well above freezing. And then you travel up the mountain and then next thing you know, you hit like the ice and snow line or the frost line, whatever you're going to call it. And it just turns into snow. Plus, like I said, there's a storm while we were there. So when we came back down the mountain, everything in the city was completely covered in snow. And it wasn't until we got really, really further down the mountain that there was no more snow. But it was a good time. That's one of the things that I've been doing. So no, you know, I didn't die or anything like that, even though I did wake up with this this sense of like dread in the middle of the night, thinking about how much like tonnage of snow was above me and what would happen if that collapsed. But other than that, you know, it was a good time. I just always think about stuff like that and I kind of stress out in moments like that. But yes, it was a great time. And I encourage anybody that wants to do something, you know, kind of weird like that, just to check it out, try it out one time It was pretty nice. The staff was great, and I loved it. No, they have no sponsorship in this this podcast or this episode or whatever. But shout out to the staff at the Igludorf in Davos, Switzerland. It was great. All right, so on to the football. Again, like I said, a lot has happened, so I'm just going to kind of breeze through this, but a lot has happened since the last time I talked to you guys. So most recently, we had both the AFC Asian Cup, the championship for the Asian Confederation. That happened since the last time I talked to you guys, and Qatar, I believe that makes them back-to-back champions. They won it again, or they won it, so I'm pretty sure they're back-to-back champions for that. It was hosted in Qatar. You know, so it's always easier to play at home. Now, for the one that I followed pretty closely was the Africa Cup of Nations. Stuttgart, we had two players down there, Girassi and Silas. Girassi playing for Guinea and Silas playing for the Democratic Republic of Congo. And there was a lot of surprises in this tournament. A lot of the favorites got knocked out. You know, Egypt got knocked out early. A lot of the favorites did not make it to the knockout stages. What's really crazy is Cote d'Ivoire, or the Ivory Coast, they were hosting it. They sacked their manager after the second group stage match, which is pretty much unheard of. But somehow, they managed to go on and win the entire tournament. So both the Asian and the African champions were the hosts from their respective championships this year. Shout out to Sebastian Haller from Dortmund. This guy was diagnosed with cancer a couple of years ago. He beat it, and he went on to beat everybody to win the Africa Cup of Nations. So that's pretty legit. Silas's team made it to the third place game. They ended up losing, and Nigeria and Cote d'Ivoire played in the final. And like I said, Cote d'Ivoire won it. So it was a really good tournament. A lot of surprises in there. A lot of teams that, you know, you would think would make it to, you know, at least the quarterfinals or semifinals, excuse me. And they did not. Morocco, Egypt, they just did not. I think the biggest surprise, though, has to be Cote d'Ivoire. How you sack your manager and still make it out of the group is difficult. But then to go on to win it at home is pretty impressive. So that happened. Let's see. VfB Stuttgart, currently sitting in third in the Bundesliga, only behind unbeaten Leverkusen, which is just nuts, and struggling Bayern. Bayern yesterday, they just lost to Bochum 3-2, which is just nuts. Meanwhile, Stuttgart, we won 2-1 against Darmstadt on the road, down to 10 men. This season so far has just been amazing. We're sitting at 46 points right now after 22 matches, and all of last year we only had 33 points for the entire season. So that's pretty wild. I mean, we got 12 matches left, and I don't want to talk about what everybody's talking about when it comes to Stuttgart, because I don't want to jinx it. So I will just say that there's European spots in, you know, for the teams that finish in the top, I believe, 6 or 7 in the Bundesliga. Right now we're sitting in third. So it feels nice to be safe from relegation, unlike last year. You know, this time last year, God, we were stressing. You know, we had to play in that relegation playoff. But this year we are safe. There's no way that we can go down mathematically, I don't think. I mean, somebody... could probably prove me wrong, but I think right now, mathematically, it's almost impossible for us to go down unless we... I think even if we were to lose every single game from here on out, I think the lowest points that a team has that got relegated was 40. So to me, 40 points is always what we shoot for, at least, you know, me as a Stuttgart supporter. And we're at 46. So the sky is the limit. I'm not going to say that we can win the league, but I'm not going to say that we can't. I'm not going to say that we're going to qualify for the Champions League, but I'm not going to say that we won't. Europa League, Europa Conference League, whatever. The only thing that I know for certain is that we're out of the Deutsche Pokal. We lost to Leverkusen, who I'm sure is the favorite now to win it. Now that Bayern is out, even though Bayern's been struggling. But anything is possible. I mean, we could do anything at this point. Leverkusen has not lost a game yet. They got a couple of draws, but they have not lost. So they look like they're clear favorites to win the league. But who knows? Anything is possible. I want to say right now, I think we're like 5 points behind Bayern. I'd have to check that, but maybe 4 points actually. Anything is possible. But we are doing so great right now that it is, I mean, you guys can probably hear me smiling. It's a place that I'd never thought that as a Stuttgart fan, especially over like the last 5, 6, 7 seasons, that at this point in the year that we would be talking about Stuttgart in third place. I mean, we're above Leipzig. We're above Dortmund. I mean, hell, we're above Frankfurt, which is just, you know, something that is blowing my mind. And I'm sure most other Stuttgart fans, but we love it. It is absolutely great, and I'm not going to turn this into a straight up, you know, Stuttgart fanboy podcast, but I do got some additional notes. I mentioned Guirassy playing for Guinea. So Harry Kane right now, he's on top of the league with goals scored. He has not missed any games. So I believe 22 games, he has 24 goals, I believe. Serge Guirassy, though, he has 18 goals in only 16 matches. So at one point he was on top of the league. He's missed a couple of games due to injury, and he missed a few games in the Bundesliga while he was out at the AFCON. But 18 goals in 16 games, that's pretty nice. I'm just glad that he stayed during the winter transfer, and you know, he decided not to move on. So depending on how we finish, depending on what we're doing next season, I don't want to jinx anything, I don't want to talk about it, but I'm hoping that he stays. Him and Dennis Undav, you know, they've been producing a lot of goals. They've been doing a lot. The defense has just been stellar, even though we just lost Dan Axel Zagadou, but due to injury, ACL. But yes, Seyru has just been—he's been phenomenal. I went to the game against Mainz a couple of weeks ago, or actually, I guess it was last weekend, and it was his first game back after the Africa Cup of Nations. And you should have heard the crowd when they announced him. I think he came in like around the 60-something minute. And it was just, it was phenomenal. It was amazing, like how they welcomed him back after that. So, yeah, he may not win the scoring title, but, you know, Harry Kane may not win the league like he thought he was going to either. So if you guys have been watching any of the Bundesliga, though, you've noticed that over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of protests going on. I think the first game that I really noticed it was Stuttgart playing against Bochum. At Bochum, the fans started throwing like these gold coins. They were not gold coins, but it was chocolate wrapped in gold to look like coins onto the field. Caused a delay. Now what they're doing is they're throwing tennis balls onto the field. And it's a coordinated thing between whoever the home team is and or the home supporters and the traveling away supporters. So they'll throw the tennis balls on. Guys will come out, collect the balls up or whatever. They'll restart play. And then the other teams, the away supporters will do the exact same thing. So when I went to the Mainz game, Mainz against Stuttgart, there was like, it was delayed for I think 15 or 20 minutes. So at the end of the first half, there was like 15 minutes of extra time. So we ended up like not making the train that we were planning on taking to leave out. We ended up leaving later just because there was so much more added time. Yesterday, I was watching games and there were like RC cars, on the field. They were flying drones. They were doing tennis balls, gold coins, other stuff. It's just been kind of crazy. Now, it's because the DFL, they want to sell off, I think it's 8 to 10% of the league in order to get like $1 billion worth of investment. And the fans are worried that if they do that, that, you know, this investment group is going to have too much influence and they're going to want to change, you know, game times, maybe even game locations, you know, because you've been seeing stuff where they've been doing Super Cups in Saudi Arabia and China or whatever, and the fans are worried that that's what's going to happen. Now, I think as a fan of a team that is not from my home country, I think it's hard to, you know, get expansion of like the Bundesliga into countries like the United States if it's not done at like a lower level. So, you know, there's a lot of fan groups in for Stuttgart specifically, and I'm sure other Bundesliga clubs, that they have their watch parties and their groups over in the United States, but this investment group or strategy, they want to try to somehow expand that, but fans are just worried that stuff is going to affect it. And, you know, as an American Stuttgart fan, as an American Bundesliga fan, I want the Bundesliga to come to the United States. I want to see like summer tours or whatever. You know, I will not never stop talking about seeing Stuttgart play in my home country. It was only like an hour away from where I lived at the time, and it was great. But I get that the fans from here don't want that affecting their enjoyment of the league in their home countries. I totally understand it. And they're just worried that it's going to sour the game a little bit, you know. Meanwhile, the investors, they're looking at, hey, the Bundesliga, if you guys want to stay competitive in the Champions League and deal with all, or, you know, compete with all this money from like England and Spain and Italy and France or whatever, there's going to have to be some changes made. But I can say as a Stuttgart supporter that I don't want to sacrifice something just so that a German club will have a better chance at the Champions League, because ultimately the league, the Bundesliga, the second Bundesliga, those are the most important things to me as a fan of a club in the Bundesliga. So I totally get it. I completely understand it. I understand where the fans are coming from. And the delays and the protests, they are annoying, you know, especially if you're planning on, you know, catching a train back or you expect to be home at a certain time based on the when the game should end. But I wouldn't change it, because I know what it is that they're fighting for, what they're fighting against. Plus, there was an initial vote for, you know, the clubs and the DFL to take this money. And the vote wasn't open to the public. So I guess one team, I don't remember which team it was, said that their guy, their representative in this vote, voted a certain way, but it actually went the opposite of what it was that he claimed that he voted. So it wasn't transparent. So the fans want a revote so that everybody can know how their club is voting. And then they'll just move forward with that accordingly. So, you know, keep an eye on that. Just watch. If you're watching Bundesliga matches and you're seeing, you know, stuff and interruptions and disruptions, just know that that's what it's for. And it's because the supporters, they're looking out for the league and their clubs and the way the fan support. They don't want that to change in any way. So yeah, that's basically kind of what's been going on. And just keep an eye on that. So, all right, before I jump into the next team that I'm highlighting this episode, I'm gonna take a quick break and I will be right back. All right, I'm back. Now, disclaimer, if I mess up any of the names or mispronounce anything, I'm sorry, but feel free to write in. Some of the stuff that I've gotten is from various sources, but this week's club is going to be Colo Colo from Chile. All right, so the full name of the club is Club Social y Deportivo Colo Colo. They're based in McCall, Santiago, Chile, and they play in the Primera División de Chile. So their nicknames are Los Albos, which means the white ones, Eterno Campeón, the eternal champions, and there's another one, El Caqui, but I don't know what that means. So their stadium, they play in the Estadio Monumental David Arellano. They have a capacity of 47,347, but for international matches, it drops down to 43,595. The stadium is named after David Arellano. He was a Chilean football and the founder of Colo Colo. He died in Valladolid in Spain during a tour match with Colo Colo. He was hit by an opposing player and then taken to a local clinic where, unfortunately, he passed away from peritonitis. All right, so the badge and kit of the club. So above the badge of the club, they have a black line over the emblem to represent the eternal mourning for David Arellano, the club founder. The badge of the club represents the Machu Picchu chieftain Colo Colo. He led the Arauco War against the Spanish Empire in the 1560s. His face is featured on a blue shield with Colo Colo in white letters on a red bar towards the bottom of the badge. The club traditionally played in a white shirt with black shorts, as their home kit. However, they currently play in a white shirt with white shorts at home and a red shirt with white shorts when they're away from home. And their white shirts also have some accents on them. Same thing with a black shirt, whether it be red and black or just red on the black one. All right, so rivals. Colo-Colo, they're the most supported team in Chile. They have a long-standing rivalry against Universidad de Chile. They've played 52 matches, and Colo-Colo has 29 wins, 15 draws, and 7 losses against them. All right, so for titles, they've won the Primera Division 33 times. The last one was in 2022. They've won the Copa Chile 14 times. The last one was in 2023. The Supercopa de Chile, they've won it 3 times. The last one was in 2022. They've won the Copa Libertadores once. It was in 1991. And the Recopa Sudamericana, they've won that 1 time. That's the South American Super Cup. They won that in 1992. So let's see for... the current season, well, so they've just restarted their current campaign, but in the 2023 season, Colo-Colo finished third in the Primera Division with 15 wins, 9 draws, and 6 losses, and they qualified for the Copa Libertadores, and they won the Copa Chile. They began the 2024 campaign with a 3-0 win over... I wanted to pronounce it like the Germans do, but it's a Union Española. They begin their Copa Libertadores campaign against Godoy Cruz of Argentina in a couple of days. I believe that's on the 22nd. All right. And that is basically it that I have for Colo-Colo. So I will, for the episode, I will put their badge up, so you guys can see that. Next team that I'm going to be talking about is going to be Sydney FC of the A-League Men out of Australia. So, yeah, that's all I got. And I want to thank you guys for listening. If there's a club that you guys want to have me feature, I'm looking to put a lot more detail into some of these. It's just that, you know, I'm working on multiple sources. I don't want to just stick with one, and some of the stuff I cannot verify, especially for some of the smaller clubs. Not to say that any club is smaller than another, but yeah. So I'm just going to try to put more and more into it. It's just that, as you guys can tell, I don't always have a lot of time. I'm just trying to find time. My job is kind of busy sometimes. But I want to thank you guys for listening. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or email me rob@90pluset.com. And thank you guys for listening. I'll talk to you guys on the next one. Thanks.